we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Congratulations, you have made it to Friday again. And we want to welcome you today. Today's a special day in our extended family, and we are have reason to thank God for this day a great, great deal. So pray that you're having a good day and that you are making it your plan. You have set your heart. You are resolved that you're going to be in the house of God this weekend. If you've got your own church you go to, great. If you need one close to where you live, say you're living in Palm Bay or Melbourne, Barefoot Bay, Sebastian, wherever you're at, if you do not know of a church, if you want to contact us, we can find you a church that preaches the Word of God in your area, and they can help you to grow in your faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. So my name's Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God and those listeners who do occasionally send in some financial support, for which we are extremely thankful. It is one of our highest privileges to bring this radio broadcast to you. So we're in Isaiah chapter 19. You can find our service times on the website, merrittassembly.com. You can like us on Facebook at Merritt Assembly of God. You can call the church, look it up online. We got all sorts of ways. In fact, if you wanted to donate to the church, we have a link page on our webpage, a donate now, and you could mark it Refresh or Missions or whatever God laid it upon your heart to give to. We are very, very diligent in making sure it gets to the appropriate funds. We're in Isaiah 19 and chapter 19, and I'll begin reading in verse number 19. We covered this yesterday, but we'll touch on it some more and then move on. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt, he will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be one of three, with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. And so now we see that this message in chapter 19 is, even though it starts off corrective, it is meant to give a position of privilege and blessing to the Egyptian people. God always corrects us to set us up for his ultimate goal, and that is for us to know him and to be blessed by him and to be used for his glory. And that's what God wanted with Egypt. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, when Herod was trying to kill him as a baby, that Joseph was commanded in a dream to take Jesus and Mary to the land of Egypt. I find that extremely insightful, because you would think after 450 years of abuse early on and oppression early on that you'd never want to go back there again. But God found a safe haven for his son in the land of Egypt. And so it says here that when Egypt was being oppressed, that they would cry to the Lord because of those who were oppressing them. And he would send them a savior and a mighty one. I don't believe that Jesus was just there as a refugee. I believe he was sent there to be that savior and that mighty one and to bring spiritual deliverance to them. You see, God's plan was never just to save one group of people. He came, he is the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And so those who were the oppressors later became the oppressed, and then they became the delivered. That's the way that God works. He wants to bring us to that place of liberty. He wants captives set free, and Jesus can save us. Jesus will move in a powerful way. He is not a weak, impotent God. He is a powerful God. I pray that miracles and signs and wonders will take place in our services this week, that sickness would lose its grip on people's body, whether it's a new illness or a chronic illness, that God would heal and do great and mighty things. And so he says, then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. You know, more than what God can do through us is the reality of knowing God and being known by him. You know, the scripture says that there's going to come a time where people are trying to get in to the kingdom, and the master will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And he said, but we did this and we did that and we did this other thing and all of these sorts of things. And he said, I never knew you. God wants to be known. If I could give you a great challenge and a great adventure to launch on, it is this: know God, know him. Don't just know about him. Spend time with him. Spend time with his people. There's a bumper sticker. I'm sure you have all seen it. It's not as prevalent around now as it once was. And it says something like this: it's not God that I have a problem with. It's his people. And I want to encourage you: spend time with godly people. Spend time with people who know God. The people who know God will do great exploits. I love that verse. Do great and mighty things. If you want to have faith, hang around with people of faith. I do know that the scripture says bad company corrupts good character. And I believe the converse to be true as well. And that is, when you hang around people of godly company, godly character, it will begin to affect you as well. I thank God that Elisha walked with Elijah. I thank God that Timothy walked with Paul and Titus walked with Paul. I thank God for those. And I thank God for the people that I've got to walk part of my journey with through these years, because they teach me lessons. One of the men in my church taught me that in Hebrews chapter 13, that people in the church, it's their responsibility. Listen, if I had taught this myself, it would have been deemed self-serving. But this guy said, look, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, I am supposed to make pastor's job easy for him by not conducting myself in an ungodly manner, but conducting myself in a godly manner, so that when he's watching over my soul, he gets to do it with joy and not out of a burden. And it's like, wow, you know, see, I don't just come to church to preach. I come to be transformed by the living God. There are times I preach to myself. it's like, you know, if this word is for nobody else, it's for me. So it says that the people of Egypt would know God and that God would know them. He said they would make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and they will perform it. you know, after a few decades in ministry, I have discovered that there are some people who are really, really good at making promises and really lousy at keeping them. And God is looking for people who their yes will mean yes, their no will mean no. They will be people who, when they say they're going to do something, they will do it. And God says that he's going to so radically transform the Egyptian people that they are going to be givers. They are going to be workers in the kingdom. They are going to give sacrificially. And it's not going to be because they have to. It's going to be because they want to. It says, and the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord. He will be entreated by them, and he will heal them. And so it says, the entreating, when I see that, I think of they're going to be people of prayer. They're going to be crying out, not just for communication, they're going to be crying out for their needs to be met. And God is a great need meter. When I read this passage, it reads very unusually, because whenever we think of being stricken or somebody hitting us, we think of them as doing that to wound us. But God says that he would do that for healing. And I've told this story before, this, and it's actually the same man that I just shared about from Hebrews chapter 13, who one day he was working on my car, and he reached up and he just, we were standing outside. It was getting close to dark. And, you know what happens in Florida about dusk. And that is that, mosquitoes start coming out. And so we're just standing there talking, not in any sort of acrimonious terms at all. We're just having a pleasant conversation. All of a sudden he just reaches up and slaps me right on the cheek. And he got this horrified look, and he just showed me the carcass of the dead mosquito that was on his hand. And it's like, dude, I trust you. I trust you. If you reached up, and if there's anybody on the planet who just reached back and punched me right between the eyes, I would know that he did it with a godly motive. There's some other people, they probably wish they could do that, and they wouldn't care whether God told them to do it or not. But I know that man loves me like a brother, and I love him like a brother. And so understand that whenever God is moving in our life, he is bringing us to that place of wholeness, to that place of healing, and we can cry out to him, and it might sting. It might leave us wounded for a bit. Let me rephrase. It might leave us injured for a bit with the purpose of bringing healing. The other day, I think I was going to the gym or going to the pool or something like that. And I looked and I said, what is that? And I saw a little mark on my shoulder, and I looked a little closer, and I had a matching one on the other side. And I realized that that's where the surgeon had cut me. Two different surgeons had cut me in identical spots on both shoulders, not because they were trying to kill me, but because they were trying to heal me. Aren't you thankful for godly physicians? Aren't you thankful for the sacrifices that they made, the years of study and the years of interning, just so that they could bring about healing into our lives. So if you've got a godly physician, thank God for them. If you have a physician, pray for them, that God will use them. Okay? But it gets better. How can it get better than healing? God has a special place of distinction. He wants to bring the people of Egypt. Now listen, Egypt had oppressed the people of Israel for over 400 years. Assyria would be the nation who carried the nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, off into captivity and get to the brink of Jerusalem's threshold. It was an oppressive nation. But listen to what God has to say about these two people. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Assyrians traveling to Egypt, Egyptians traveling to Syria, and they will serve together. They will serve together. Those two people were... they were... My cell phone thought I was talking to it. They would serve together. These are people who didn't like one another. They were battling over the same territory. And it says they're going to serve together. And in that day, here's the last in the midst that we're going to share out of Isaiah chapter 19. In that day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing, get this, in the midst of the land. Egypt, an oppressive nation. Assyria, an oppressive nation. Israel, the 10 northern tribes. And you know, it could be to an extension that the nation of Judah, the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And he says, I am going to set these three nations as a blessing in the midst of the land. I'm going to transform an ungodly nation into a land that is a land of blessing. That can only be done by a supernatural transformation done by the living God. He says, a blessing in the midst of the land whom the Lord of hosts shall bless. So for those of you who may be, you know, in less than pleasant or adverse conditions, I want to let you know God can change those circumstances. Maybe you've got a mean boss or maybe a supervisor who's just not that easy to get along with, and you'd rather go have a root canal than go to work some days. But God can transform that situation, and he can make them a blessing in your life. Do you realize that the body of Christ is meant to be a blessing, not just for themselves, but to one another? And so I encourage you, pray for those people. Pray for them, because God can change their heart and change them. A revival came to Assyria that touched the heart of God, that caused his hand of destruction to be removed, because he noticed how sincere they were in their repentance. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people. I love that. And Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. When you look at the headlines today, you see anything but this reality. There's not much unity between Egypt and Israel and the region that is occupied, that Assyria occupied, Iran and Iraq, and Syria and that area. Not much love between them and Israel at this point in time. But God said, I'm going to mark it down. I'm speaking it forth, and I don't lie, that there is coming a time when people are going to say, Egypt is a land that belongs to God. Those are God's people. Okay? Blessed is Egypt, my people. I've had a number of people who, you know, they have defeated mindsets. They go around and it's like they don't expect victory, and they're sure not going to be disappointed by getting it. I want you to see that if you belong to God, if you're one of his children, he's intent on blessing you. That's his desire. It's his plan. He wants to bless you. Blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands. When I read that particular verse, I think of a craftsman. I think of a potter or an artisan that is designing something with intent and making it for a purpose. He said, Assyria is the work of my hand. Now, think back. We just read in earlier in the chapter where things changed when the hand of God moved across the land. Assyria, they were some violent people. They were a wicked people. They were just mean. And God says, they're my project. They're my project. Now, the good news is God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. I wish I had that testimony. I've got things all over the place that I've started and then life kicked in and we didn't get to finish it. And one of these days, you know, I don't know when that is on the calendar, but one of these days, are you one of those people like me? Anyway, he says, Assyria is the work of my hands. He's a master craftsman. And then he says this, along with those two is Israel. They are my inheritance. You know, when the children of Israel came into the promised land, everybody got a geographic region that was designated to them by tribe except for one. And that was the tribe of Levi. Now they had a few towns that were assigned to them here and there, but their inheritance was supposed to be God. And God says that the nation of Israel is his inheritance. It belongs to him. It's what he's looking forward to. It's where his heritage is linked. And so, we always like to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of the Middle East. And I encourage you to be praying for those. And so what started off as a negative word with the heart of the Egyptians melting in the midst, then there was a spiritual failure, then there was a spiritual perversion, then there was an altar that was created in the land, and what chapter 19 ends up being is God says, I am going to work so powerfully in people's lives that when it is all said and done, Egypt, Assyria, and Israel will all be known as my blessing in the land. They will be known as a gift from God to the rest of the nations of the earth. You know, I'm looking at the clock here, and we're a few minutes shy here today, but I've always been one who was of the mindset that when you had spoken what God had commanded you to speak, and when it was done, then you ceased and desisted. And so I'm going to take that same advice today. I'm going to pray for you, remind you of our service times, and say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, Jits Concrete, 536-5804, Wyrick Air, 632-9538, and Teresi Auto Sales and Repair, 636-4910. If they can be a blessing to you, give them a call. And hopefully we'll see you out at church Sunday morning, 9:30. Worship service starts at 10:30. Sunday night service is at 6:30. If you can make it to any one of those services, please do so. Let's close in prayer, and then maybe we can have some Christian music that will get us to the bottom of the hour here. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. Lord, you are good. I want to thank you, God, that though sometimes as we begin a process of being molded and transformed by you, it's very painful. But God, I want to thank you. The end result is glorious. Father, you said in Isaiah chapter 19 that you can make people who were enemies of Israel to be part of a massive project that you were working together, that they would be together known as the people of God, the inheritance of God, and the work of God. Lord, I pray that every person that's listening today, Lord, that they would be known as a blessed man or a blessed woman. I pray, God, that every person that's listening today, that you would be at work in our hearts and in our lives, be at work in our marriages, be at work in our finances. God, work in us thoroughly and completely. And Lord, I pray that we would be your chosen treasure, your most prized possession. God, I pray that we would be known by you and that we would know you. God, I thank you for all that you're doing. And I pray, God, that you would not only work in Merit Assembly of God, but you would work in churches all throughout Brevard County. May you bless the people with a fantastic weekend in Jesus' name. God bless you. Like I said, we're going to sign off a little bit early today, but we will be back Monday morning sharing the Word of God with you one more time. God bless you. Have a great weekend here in Brevard County. See you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on? With my one thing, you're my one thing. And the pure in heart shall see God. You're my one thing, you're my one thing. And the pure in heart shall see God. Well, who have I in heaven but you, Jesus? What better could I hope to find down here on earth? Well, I can cross the most distant reaches. There's a world, but I just be wasting my time. Cause I'm certain already, I'm sure I'll find you my one thing. One thing. You're my one thing. One thing. And the pure in heart shall see God. You're my one thing. One thing. You're my one thing. One thing. The pure in heart shall see God. You drift away and you're left to live with the choices you make. Oh Lord, please give me the strength to watch and work and love and sing and pray. Cause who have I in heaven but you, Jesus? And what better can I hope to find down here on earth? Oh, I could cross the most distant reaches. There's a world, but I'd just be wasting my time. Cause I'm certain already, I'm sure I'm finding my one thing.